Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show on this Suspension Monday. And I'm not talking about you're in suspense. I'm talking about you're suspended. We'll get into that in a minute. But welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and boy, Ray called it. So we got a busy show. It's sort of a shorter show, but we're going to hang in until we get you guys caught up with everything that's going on. So join the show. Join the adventure. Come on the ride. Sports is fun. Let's have some fun. 718-664-9098, like always, and we will get to some emails today. That is a promise. Hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Well, we thank you for all the emails we've been getting all summer, too. And the website, man, is very interactive. Check out all of our episodes, amazing interviews from Seth Davis, Bob Brenly, Charles Davis. I mean, you know, we're covering all the sports and gamuts. You know, check out the Hollis Copeland interview, the ex-Nick from 79, 81. It's just really exciting. And that's at rayandtaytoday.com. Like always, we're interactive, Facebook and Twitter. So tweet at Ray and Tay, and we will get back at you. Ray, let them know how we're going to break down this episode.
Wow. Well, like I said, we got a lot of suspensions to talk about. So we have major suspensions in Major League Baseball, in college football, in pro football. So we'll talk about those sports, and we'll get into the NBA, and then we'll bring back our fan favorite, one of our fan favorite segments called Champs and Chumps, where Ray and Tay will bring you champs and chumps of the recent weekend and maybe a little bit beyond. So we'll give you our champs, the people that did work, our teams, and our chumps, the folks that really laid an egg. So let's kick it off with some breaking news in Major League Baseball.
Ray, tell them what happened to the guy that I felt should have been suspended last season.
So Ryan Braun suspended by Major League Baseball for the rest of 2013, which is 65 games. So it's kind
effective
of in between,
immediately.
Right? Yeah, usually you get either 50 or 100 games, 100 for a second violation, obviously 50 for a first. And what's interesting is we got a little bit of this Rafael Palmeiro thing going on when he waved his finger at Congress. And so Ryan Braun puts out a press release where he says, today, where he says, as I've acknowledged in the past, I'm not perfect. And then he said, I realize now that I may have made some mistakes.
Wow,
and I'm willing
please.
To accept the consequences of these actions. Now, this is the same Ryan Braun that stood in Miller Park and said, no way, no how, it wasn't me, I didn't do anything, I was railroaded by the system because the guy kept the sample and due process, the chain of custody was broken. So, I don't know what to say.
Well, let me say this. No. I mean, this guy is a mess and a joke, but two little thoughts on this, and this is kind of interesting. I heard this, and I got to give credit to, I think it was Mad Dog Sports Radio. I'll give them their props. But I heard this. First of all, there's going to be more suspensions. It's not just Braun. They're going to be doing it very soon because a la quad injury for A-Rod, so he did not come back to the Rangers. When he spoke to Major League Baseball, he basically didn't speak, sort of denied everything. I got no comment, whatever, right? Okay, so there's still going to be about 25 other names besides Braun that they're going to announce in a week or so. So A-Rod will never get back to the Yankees, basically. But there are reports, or they released a study that since like 1942, steroids was invented and created in Russia, and was actually legal in 1958 in America. This is before 1961 with Roger Maris and the home run record, okay, in 58. Legal in America, and not ruled illegal in this country until 1976. So we don't have rumors or proof, but there was definitely that window that since, you know, the 40s at some time, professional athletes could have been using steroids, PEDs, basically. So I find that interesting. Braun, a mess. All these guys, a mess. Don't cheat. I don't want to hear it. And, you know, baseball, it's just another black eye. And, you know, the deadline, trade deadline's the 31st. We'll get into that. They've got, you know, the Hall of Fame stuff coming up. And Selig, I think, is just his regime has been a mess of a commissioner. And it's not all his fault. But, yeah, a lot of it is his fault because they all turned their eye to what was going on because baseball was benefiting for years. And
yeah,
then they try to come
to
in like
down
a janitor.
Now, so for the last 10 years, he's been trying to crack down, and baseball had the toughest, and Donald Fehr was the toughest.
Not 10 years. He hasn't been trying to crack down since 03.
Why not? I would say he was. But here's the thing. Baseball's had the toughest player association representation of any sport. So you couldn't get any kind of serious drug testing in baseball until what happened with Congress and what happened with Sammy Sosa and Palmeiro and all that stuff. So even if you wanted to, the Players Association was so tough that they couldn't get anything through that, you know, juggernaut that was the Players Association and Donald Fehr. So baseball is about a decade or a generation behind, you know, potentially other sports in catching up. So, yeah, they all turned a blind eye. But I think they're on their way to rectifying the situation. I think if you've got evidence that these guys have done it, you got to go after them hard. And you're going after Ryan Braun, and you're going after 25 other players. So good for baseball if they have the evidence. And Ryan Braun is not even contesting this. So apparently
And someone who pitched the gem last night is 13-3 in Bartolo Colon. So, yeah, no, you're right. They're doing what they need to do. It's just a shame. It's all a mess. But you know what? It's going to be what it's going to be. So let's see what happens to A-Rod. Let's see these other 20-some-odd names, you know, a lot of different players. But let's talk about the game for a second. The Rangers started off the whole trade situation and jumping, you know, before the deadline and before it needs to get done as they start a new series versus the Yankees tonight. They got Matt Garza from the Cubs for four prospects. And you got to believe for the Rangers, that is a very solid move to sort of solidify a staff that it could get them over the hump. I don't know what you'd think, but –
Well, look,
Rangers
he's 29 years old.
The door. Yeah.
He's had his last five starts. I think he's had a 1.24 ERA or something like that. So he's a legit number one, number two starter. Matt Garza can pitch ever since his days in down in Tampa. So our boy Theo Epstein is blowing up the Cubs. He really wants to get his guys in there. And he's starting out and saying, look, you know, it's a luxury to have a 29-year-old, you know, ace of your staff on a team that's terrible. So let me go out, get some prospects in return, save some money, and get four prospects in return. So good for the Cubs. I mean, and probably not good for Cubs fans, but it's probably the right thing to do. And great for the Rangers.
So. Very, very good for the Rangers.
And Rangers
really
have to deal with a lot of injuries in their rotation. So they get a young guy who's relatively healthy. So good for them.
Well, you know, we talked about A-Rod a little bit, and he'll probably never make it to New York. But it looks like Derek Jeter, they're saying when he gets off the DL on Saturday, might not be ready. So, you know, also it's interesting. You see the Yankees are potentially pursuing Alfonso Soriano, you know, to come and play back in New York. So that could be interesting. I don't know what you think about that. I think it's a little like,
big fan of his.
Right now,
so
anything's better than Overbay. You saw that last night with Overbay. 0-for-5, first and second, one out. And I think it was the top of the 11th and Overbay, or top of the 10th, and Overbay just hits into a double play and ends a nice little rally after Cano.
Look, he's asked to do more than he was. He was brought on to back up Teixeira, and he's not supposed to be a starting first baseman anymore. He's a good defensive player.
The team is cursed this year. The Yankees are cursed with the injuries.
Yeah, it's too bad this is Mariano's last year because, like I said, I don't think the Yankees are making the playoffs. So the Yankees need to really look at themselves, retool, and try to figure out who their young stars are. I mean, they've got one guy, Robinson Cano, who's a legitimate star in his prime, and he's 30 years old. And he's going to want a big contract. But other than that, you know, CeCe Sabathia might be a little bit beyond his prime. Mark Teixeira, we may have seen his best years. And Yankees need to get young fast. So if they're going to spend money like they have done historically, they need to bring in some young talent.
No, they definitely do. That, keeping it moving, though, with the suspensions. Let's hit up some college football. I mean, you know, we've had all the nice little talk about Manziel and SEC coaches on ESPN today, and, you know, now that ESPN's got this huge contract with the SEC, and, well, we've got some more suspensions. And it comes from the Big Ten. Ohio State, star running back, Carlos Hyde, dismissed from the school. Yes. Basically, you know, give Urmeyer credit. He doesn't really tolerate this. You know, it's not even guilty yet, but this guy was basically potentially facing assault charges from hitting, a woman or girlfriend at a bar or some situation. And he does not play when it comes to his athletes, you know, any type of abuse with women. So, look, you got to respect it. And, you know, considering that he had Hernandez and some of these guys at Florida, it's, I guess you got to say, you know, hey,
well,
he's
taking
a
stance. Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer is getting a lot of negative flack. So he's got to – he's going to err on the side of being quick to suspend and quick to distance himself from these players because he left a mess behind in Florida. You know, there's a lot of some of his players and then some of his players' actions, and, you know, somehow police reports didn't get filed and people got let off and got lesser charges than, you know, than the average citizen would have gotten. So, you know, it happens all around college football, but I think that plus Aaron Hernandez just brought this whole thing, you know, to light.
He brought the house down.
So Urban Meyer is going to be real quick to suspend players. So if you're on Ohio State, you better go to class. You better not get arrested because Urban will suspend you.
Yeah, so that's sort of the college football suspension and news. Then we got the NFL. It looks like our guy, Denver Bronco star defender, Von Miller, one of the most amazing linebackers in the game, is facing potentially a 4-game suspension, not for PEDs, but for recreational drug use, which he was, you know, this is his second incident because in 2011, his rookie year, he basically reported, you know, using recreational drugs. So they're saying it's like amphetamines and marijuana. If I'm on his team, I am so disappointed. Now, not give him credit, but he did release a tweet saying, hey, I'm sure that everything will work out and that I did not do this and I didn't do anything wrong. So we'll see. But the league office is doing something and checking out something. So 4 games missing his 18.5 sacks, the Broncos, no Miller, no Dumervil, could be starting off the season pretty rough against the Ravens on Thursday night in the opening game. What do you think about what could happen or what might happen here?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, again, Miller comes out and vehemently denies that he ever did anything wrong, but we heard that before in baseball, so who knows? Although we talked about this off air, you know, it sounds terrible, right? Drugs are drugs, and the NFL has no tolerance for them, but, you know, rather recreational drugs than performance-enhancing drugs just because, you know, you can kick the habit of recreational drugs and you know, just take care of your business. Whereas PEDs, you got to think, is your performance not your natural performance? Is it really – are you getting the benefit of using these drugs? So I guess that's the only consolation that Broncos fans have is that, you know, well, it would be a second offense, which is a little disappointing, but at least it's not PEDs where you think, oh, God, the performance that we've seen on the field is, you know, drug-enabled, and therefore we don't don't really have as good a player as we think we have. But you're right. You lose
well, you know
what's four
funny?
Games. And Denver is trying to get home field advantage. Denver's trying
yeah,
to
they're
themselves
playing
to the Super Bowl. This is a team
yeah.
where every game matters.
But you know what's weird? I totally agree with what you just said, and we've sort of, you know, both feel that way. But there's other people who feel that they'd rather have a guy caught for PEDs because he's, you know, you don't just take steroids and HGH and then just sit there. You got to work out and lift weights. And, you know, some people feel like, okay, well, this guy's trying to better himself and better his team and, you know, whatever, compared to the guy who's just partying and being an idiot and just, you know, destroying his own body or, you know, impairing himself by getting high. I don't necessarily see it that way, but I see that other people look at it differently than you and I. So I don't know. It's kind of an interesting perspective, but I'd rather, you know, be like, look, stop smoking weed and, you know, or snorting coke or doing whatever you're doing and play football than say, wow, like you said, is this guy as good? Is his 18.5 sacks legit? So, that's kind of interesting. But keeping it moving with the news, a couple of things. Patriots, who have really no receivers, released Donald Jones, who they signed off for the Bills. So they just have Jenkins, Edelman, Ballard, Gronkowski. I don't know what the Patriots are doing. The young pick, Dobson and Amendola, yeah. Then Niners, who acquired Eric Wright, they voided the trade because from Tampa Bay because Eric Wright failed his physical, and the Bucs, they just cut him and they released him. So that's interesting. And the Bucs, you know who they got sort of from the Patriots, they sort of picked up the track star. Remember Jeff Demps? So he's going to come to the Bucs training camp. So let's see, you know, what happens with him. You know, sort of like a little scat back, running back. Should be kind of interesting. And the Dolphins and Cowboys reported the training camp on Saturday and will play in the Hall of Fame game. That's going to be kind of interesting. That should be
that
kind of interesting.
That means that football is back. What are we, like 45 days away from opening? Right?
Man,
we're
going to give them everything.
The 5th?
Yeah, Ray and Tay are going to give you our football preview. We're going to have a fantasy draft special show. We're going to give you some NFL and college football like nobody's business. I'm excited. You know, you got to love it. Hey, RG3, he's cleared to practice. Wow. He tweeted out that. Looks like he'll be actually in training camp. Probably won't play any preseason games if they're smart, but that's good news. And then Geno Smith, hey, he signs a $5 million deal. Let's go. The battle is on in New York in training camp this year. Not like the, you know, foolery that went on last year with Tebow and Sanchez. This year, there's actually a reason to see the Jets training camp. And too bad they're not on the training camp show, Hard Knocks, right? I'd rather see them than the Bengals, even though the Bengals have an interesting team and you know, could be contending for a Super Bowl potentially. But Geno Smith Sanchez, what do you think about that? You think that's going to be a hot battle in training camp?
Well, you know that I didn't like Mark Sanchez from the beginning. So for our viewers out there, the draft day trade that brought Mark Sanchez, I was at Tay's house, and I didn't like it then.
Ray was hot.
I was hot, trading up to get a guy who started 16 games. He couldn't even beat out a couple of other players, John Davis.
He was basically like a no-name. Nobody even
knew
Sanchez.
Yeah, and his coach even said, I mean, Pete Carroll, who you can say whatever you want, but it's not a good look when your coach says you should stay in college. And you're
not
a starting
ready.
Quarterback. He's not ready. And I never liked him as a starting quarterback. I mean, he's a serviceable guy. I'm not saying he's not an NFL-level quarterback, but he's not a top quarterback. And
he's a backup, though.
The Jets went to two AFC finals in spite of him. One year they were 9-7. They just had a good run in the playoffs. So
are you saying he's a game manager?
I'm sorry?
Are you saying that he's a game manager?
At best,
and is he,
he's a game manager.
Okay,
he's
so,
not
but,
even
so
a
then,
good.
So you're saying he's not better than Alex Smith?
No. I'll take Alex Smith better. I'll take Alex Smith and his decision-making better over Sanchez. Now, look, I don't have a problem with Sanchez starting because I'm also not a big fan of rookies starting. Now, the problem is this past year you had three rookies do phenomenally well in RG3, Luck, and Wilson. And so everybody says, oh, yeah, no problem, throw rookies in there. I think they're still the exception. I mean, these are three, you know, potentially fantastic quarterbacks, Hall of Fame, maybe if you project out 10 years, if they keep on this trajectory. But I still think there's something to be said for half a season on the bench and then around game 6, 7, 8, 9, if it's your eventual team leader, the rookie quarterback can take over. So I don't have a problem with Sanchez starting the season, even if Geno Smith plays a little bit better in preseason. I don't have a problem with that. I would need Geno Smith to really outplay Mark Sanchez by significant amount to have him start. If it's close, I don't mind the tie going to the veteran. So you get something out of Sanchez. You let Geno.
But you know
work,
what they should do?
And then Geno
they should do. They should do exactly what the Giants did with our guy Kurt Warner and Eli Manning. I think that Geno Smith should basically, because his team is going nowhere and they have no offensive talent, so why destroy the rookie? Let Mark Sanchez start week 6, week 8. We have to check their bye week. I think they have a week 7 or bye week or something like that. Let him play, and then let Geno come in and start the rest of the season, starting like week 8, week 9, whenever after their bye week. And let Geno Smith do it like that. And that's the, you know, so then you're sort of building for next season. Because right now, the Jets aren't going anywhere this season, ladies and gentlemen. We all know it, and let's just be real. You know?
Nowhere fast.
No, they, I mean, listen, hey, it's a mess. They're a mess. And it's a shame for, you know, look, Ray's a Cowboy fan, I'm a Steeler fan, but both of us, our second favorite team is the New York Jets. So let's keep it moving, though, in the NBA. Great news. My man, they didn't release the years. I don't see it yet. But Nate Robinson signs with the Denver Nuggets.
That is a
great signing and a good deal for both of them. You know what I mean? The Nuggets, they lost, you know, Andre Iguodala, but they have brought in some players. I like J.J. Hickson. I like Nate Robinson. I like Brian Shaw. So I like what they did. And you know what's interesting to me? It looks like the veteran, two veterans, one who's played and one who hasn't, Marcus Camby, has narrowed down his choices, the veteran, who could be done but wasn't healthy last year for the Knicks, to the Heat, the Rockets, and the Bulls, right? So I'm going to ask you a question about that. And then Greg Oden, who's never really played, and we talked about that on the show many times, very sad, is going to work out for the Heat, Pelicans, and Kings. Ray, if Marcus Camby goes to the Heat, Rockets, or Bulls, could he be playing for a title this year with either one of those three teams, you think? And could he contribute to the one?
He could contribute, assuming he's healthy, obviously. He could contribute to any of those teams. The Bulls, his game's a lot like Taj Gibson to some degree, so I don't think he adds as much. He adds depth, just purely depth. And you know, he's a great weak side defender, weak side shot blocker. The Bulls, so we know the Bulls. The Bulls, that all depends on Derrick Rose and if they can get some production in that other guard spot. But I think those other two teams make it even more interesting, right? Could you imagine if the Heat have a shot blocker? I mean, I guess you could say Joel Anthony's a shot blocker, but he never really got on the court in meaningful minutes. So he could help them for sure. And, you know, anybody else that needs
– And the Rockets. Backing
the Rockets.
Up
well,
with a,
the Rockets,
a
I don't know where he gets
Howard.
Minutes, though.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be a good addition to the team, but that just means to me that they're going to get rid of Ashik at some point. Because I don't know how Ashik, Howard, and Camby, I don't think any of those three can play together. You know what I mean? I think they all, at this point, Camby's a five, and the other two guys are fives as well. So I don't know that they play together. To me, that means they're getting rid of Ashik if they end up signing Camby.
You might very well be right. We shall definitely have to see about that. But you know what it's time for, man? it is time for Ray and Tay today to bring back to our fans and people who listen to the show. They definitely like it. They love, and we talk about our segment, and we've got a bunch of segments, but this is one of the originals, Champs and Chumps of the Sports Weekend. So we'll break it down. Ray, you go first. Are you going to go champ or are you going to go chump? I know you like to always
be positive. Let's go positive. So I'm going to go with the champ. The champ, and don't even say this guy is a lefty, because I actually didn't like him for many years. I thought he was a little out of shape. I thought he
was a lefty
little,
you didn't like?
A little too, exactly. A lefty that I didn't like, could you imagine? So I'm going with the guy they call lefty, Phil Mickelson, who comes back from five strokes down to win his fifth major, his first Open Championship, a.k.a. British Open. The guy shoots a final round 66, the best round of the whole tournament, and he does it on the final day with the spotlight squarely on him. And he just was so clutch down the stretch. He shot a 32 on the back nine, and four out of the last six holes he birdied. So talk about a guy who played his best round at the most opportune time. Phil Mickelson is my champ of the weekend for just taking it down in Mirfield. Go ahead, Phil. And it's not because he's a lefty. So I don't even want to hear it.
Yeah. Listen, you're right. Phil was amazing. And, what, out of the last six holes, he had like four birdies. He played his butt off. That's incredible. So, okay, that right there is a serious, serious champ. And I'm actually happy for Phil. You know, I'm a Tiger guy, but Phil is a guy you got to respect, and I actually like him. And, you know, he's also around our age, so I got to root for Phil, too. You know what I'm saying? For me, I'm going to start off with a champ and be positive. And I'm going with one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball. They've won five in a row. They are in second place, only by a game and a half, behind the Boston Red Sox. They are 58-41. I'm talking about your Tampa Bay Rays. They have been playing amazing since, I think it's June 29th. They're 17-2, Ray. I mean, everybody is chipping in. You're getting Longoria. You're getting Loney. You're getting pitching from Price. Fernando Rodney held on as they swept the Blue Jays. Francisco Rodney. The Rays, to me, right now, them and the Dodgers, but the Rays are playing much better ball. The Red Sox better watch out, and even if the Red Sox hold on, even though they took two out of three from our Yankees and won an extra innings last night, and they're up six, they're 60-40, best record in baseball. I think the Tampa Bay Rays are not only going to make the playoffs, but they are going to be a team that we might see in the World Series this year. Those are my champs. Watch out, the Rays are playing great ball, and they are ready to they're ready to do it.
That's a good one, and that's a team that nobody wants to see in the playoffs. So
all right,
my
let's do the chump.
So my chumps, I hate to pile on. And, you know, most of the time we try not to pile on. But in this case, I have to, because my chumps, I'm sticking with baseball again, or back to baseball, because you just had a baseball team. The Houston Astros, now in the American League, but still stink. They're 33-63, and that's not even the worst of it. The worst of it is a game that they played on Saturday. So this is why they're my chumps of the weekend. They lost the game 4-2. Okay, so you can lose, no big deal, at home. They had two runs on seven hits. Okay, so that means you're not really hitting with runners in scoring position. You score two, at least you're not shut out. They gave up four runs on one hit. The Seattle Mariners had one hit and scored four runs. There are, since the start of Major League Baseball, which is 130 years or so, there have been three teams that have scored four runs with one or fewer hits in 130 years.
So the Houston Astros are terrible, and they lose 4-2 and only gave up one hit, three walks. One hit and three walks and give up four runs. Unbelievable. And even to make the story even more interesting is Eric Bedard, who was a former star in Baltimore and then was in Seattle, and then kind of his arm
right.
fell apart and he had all those surgeries and whatever. He pitched 6 1/3 innings of no-hit baseball and took himself out. So he threw 109 pitches, and he called Bo Porter. He said, come on and get me. I'm done. And he said, what? You sure? He said, I'm done. He gave him the ball, and he walked off. He said, I'd rather pitch another day than blow out my arm. So he walked off the field on a no-hitter. So he just said, look, I'm done. 6 1/3. I did my job today. So,
I did my contribution.
Yeah, my
wow.
chunk of the weekend are the Houston Astros for giving up four runs on one hit.
Well, my chumps actually in the division are in third place in AL West. And I'm sticking with baseball. We're in summer. It's the baseball season. And my chumps, they did okay this weekend. They were, you know, won their series 2-1, 2-1 over the Oakland A's. But my chumps are 46-50, and they are the Los Angeles Angels. Their lineup, though, yesterday, their main three guys, Trout, Pujols, and Hamilton, were 1-12 against Bartolo Colon, who's like 40. Some people think he's like 50. Okay, Trout had the one hit. They were 1-12 with three strikeouts. But this team, Ray, we were talking about them potentially being in the World Series. I mean, their pitching has really been a mess. I mean, obviously, you have Jason Vargas with 6 wins. You know, Jerome Williams got 5 wins. C.J. Wilson's got 10 wins. And he's sort of their best pitcher all around in every category. 3.15 ERA. He's got the 10 wins. 118 strikeouts. So he's doing okay. But nobody else is sort of like even sniffing anything on that team. And then offensively, they're struggling. Of course, Trout is a beast at 321. But the rest of their team, I mean, most of their good players are batting, you know, 227 for Hamilton, and Pujols is at like 253. You know, you're doing okay with Akbar at 285, but the rest of these guys are doing nothing. And this is a team to me, Ray, that they are definitely my chumps because they've got Trumbo, you know, who, you know, is pretty much banging out, you know, 21 homers. He's leading the team in homers. But with all that talent, they should be, yeah, they should be doing so much more. You know, Trout's got the 60 RBIs, but they should be doing so much more. And, you know, Pujols got 58 RBIs, Trumbo's got 57. But it doesn't make sense that they're in third place and they're below 500, and they're not going to make the playoffs. It would almost be a miracle. So where the Rangers got Garza, the Angels have got nothing. And doesn't look like they're going to have nothing. So they are Tay's chumps of the week, the
wow.
weekend, and
okay.
maybe of the season.
Wow.
Because I really had big hopes for this team, man. I did. I had big hopes.
Them into the playoffs for sure.
Yeah. No, definitely. So wait, I do want to get to one of our emails, okay? We've got Kelly, actually from Los Angeles, who's got
Uh-oh,
a Laker
LA?
Question.
Is this Lakers,
yeah,
Dodgers?
Kelly,
what do we got?
No. She's talking about the Lakers. And Kelly is wondering if the son, not since the father is gone, the son, Jim Buss, is he taking too much of a risk by getting rid of all, you know, Meta World Peace, she said, Meta World Peace, Howard, and, you know, hoping that Kobe will come back, banking everything on 2014 that they will be able to sign Kobe and, you know, potential stars, i.e., she said, LeBron, Melo, etc. I'll let you take a snap at that first. Kelly, thank you for the question. What do you think? I mean, is Jim Buss and Kubchak, Mitch Kubchak, are they?
I think the Lakers are backed into a corner. They have some egg on their face because they didn't keep Dwight Howard, which may or may not have been a blessing in disguise. So they really do have to go, they have to bring in the next star. Because for years, you could argue since, you know, the days of, if you think about the transition that the Lakers have had, they've only had a few down years, and they've always had a star. They traded for, you know, they had Wilt, and then they had Kareem, and then they had, they drafted, obviously, Magic and those stars, and a lot of those stars in the 80s, and they traded for some complimentary players. And then in 96, they traded Vlade Divac for Kobe, and
Kobe.
Then they brought Shaq in as a free agent, so they teamed them up. And then they made the big trade for Pau Gasol, basically stealing him away from Memphis.
The Grizzlies, yeah.
So they are at a point where they don't know, they can't see the future. Who is the future star? And I don't know how many years Kobe has. So if you figure that Kobe's going to fade out eventually, maybe not this year, but in the next 2 years, 3 years max, who is going to carry the mantle for L.A.? So it's almost a critical time in L.A. So they're going to have to go land one of these free agents, LeBron, Carmelo, you know, somebody like that. And in order to do so, they have to clear out cap room. So I think the not getting Dwight Howard, plus the fact that they are, you know, tanking, I argue they're tanking it this year to try and get, you know, a star potentially in the draft. I think that all works out for them. I think that.
Oh, so you don't like Wesley Johnson and Nick Young?
Well, you know, I actually thought Wesley Johnson would be a much better player than he is. Nick Young, I don't like his game. I didn't like him at USC. I don't like him in the pros. But the point that I really think for the Lakers is they're playing a high stakes game of poker, right? They're saying we're going to tank this season, and we really don't have a plan B other than to say we're creating all this cap room. I guess they do have a plan B, which is the cap room plus the draft. So they hope to be in this 2014 lottery, and they hope to get either LeBron or Carmelo. And that's how they're going to compete. But now more than ever, they should be panicking because the L.A. Clippers are about to take over that town because their studs are young. So for the next 5 years, you got to think that the Clippers are going to be the talk of that town.
And necessarily, people don't necessarily want to go play in L.A. or go play with Kobe. And guess what? By the way, the Miami Heat still will have LeBron, and they, in 2014, might be $50 million under the cap with, you know, LeBron being a free agent, but they can bring back Wade and LeBron and say, hey, we'll just build around them and bring one more person and not keep Bosch. So there's no guarantee that the Lakers, you know, they're not the only team that has money. And guess what? They're not the only team that might, you know, have, you know, some sort of lure or draw to pull people in.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. And by the way, it doesn't look good that you lost Dwight Howard. So the last time you had a free agent, you couldn't close the deal. And nothing's changed. I mean, I believe D'Antoni will be gone, but you'll still have the same GM and you'll still have the same owner.
Really?
So,
see, that's the problem. I think D'Antoni, I think the Jim Buss is stubborn enough and Kupchak is, you know, doesn't have maybe the power that he used to have. I think that might be the issue, that they're stubborn enough to keep D'Antoni and the ship will go down with him. And I don't think players want to play for D'Antoni.
And then he'll... I think players want to play for D'Antoni. I think that especially offensive-minded players. But, you know, to me...
I think the hype is over with. I think in New York, he never won in Phoenix, and then in New York, I think he messed up. He crossed the line with some players, and other players around the league know it. The way he treated Marbury and just ruined the end of his career, I disagree. I think the guy's lost respect. I really do.
You might be right. I told you that was a disaster and that the Lakers are going to be firing him and paying him just like they were paying Mike Brown. So
yeah,
if the
but
Lakers
they should have already fired
them,
him. You know, that's how I felt.
They
if you wanted to keep Howard, you should have got rid of that guy. And you know what? Give credit because you know who's a real coach that I would have loved to have gotten, and we got to talk about this before we end the show, Coach K from Duke. Because he's staying with Duke, he's staying with the U.S. Olympic team, and they're out in Vegas. Tomorrow they have the trials on NBA TV, the practice, which should be really fascinating to see some of these young guys that are gearing up for 2016. And then Thursday night, there's the blue and white game. And you know, Tay gets excited because, hey, listen, I watched Orlando Summer League, and the Oklahoma City Thunder won that championship. And then tonight, the Suns and Warriors play, and they've both been playing great, from the Morris brothers to P.J. Tucker, and then for the Warriors, Draymond Green and Bazemore and Scott Machado, you know, from Iona. Shout out to Iona and our boy Ricky Rivers, right? All the local cats. But they have been playing some good ball. And I think even though, you know, I've been going back and forth on Twitter with Peter Vesey, and he's like, listen, the Suns ain't making nothing. The only thing they're going to do is finish the season. I do like the fact that with Jeff Hornacek, they got a new direction, new GM. And, you know, let's see what happens. Let's see if Archie Goodwin turns out to be a player from Kentucky, who was a top high school recruit and just, you know, didn't have a great season because he had to play point guard and shooting guard. Let's see if Alex Lem gets healthy, and let's see what Gortat and Sciola and some of these guys do with Bledsoe and Dragic, you know. So I think basketball is exciting. The offseason has been exciting. You know, I don't know. What do you think about the Olympic team? What do you think about – I know you don't like to get into the summer league stuff like I do, but
– it's not that I don't like it. I just say don't draw conclusions too fast from summer league ball, because these cats are usually, you're looking at either a rookie or somebody who's 9th, 10th, 11th man on a roster. So they usually play better in the summer, and you might get some false indications. But the summer league, you know what, or the USA Basketball, it's great that Coach K is back. It's great that he's shown his commitment now. For, I don't know, what's this going on, like 10 years or 8 years or something like that?
Yeah, he was 7 years before, so another 4.
Good for him.
Did you hear who he hired, the coaches? He's got Tom Thibodeau and Monty Williams. Yeah, Monty Williams from the Pelicans. And Tom Thibodeau, Tom Thibodeau, the defensive specialist and one of the best coaches, you know, I think going to go down maybe ever for the Bulls, Tom Thibodeau, to, you know, be his main assistant. So I think Coach K is headed in the right direction.
Good for him. Good for him. No, that's great. You know what? And the USA got a big shock in the late 80s, early 90s, up into the mid 90s with the, you know, thinking that they could just step out on the court and win, you know, against very good international competition. So they're taking it seriously. So I give them credit. And you know what? They really put professionalism back into this national team, and that's good to see. And, you know, who better than Krzyzewski? But now the speculation is going to start. I guess, you know, he's going through the next Olympics, but speculation is, well, who's going to take over for him? Who's going to be the next guy? Because, you know, the
so
rotating four-year
man.
Guy is not, but it's fun, you know, fun speculation, right?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's
well, you know
we'll
what's really interesting is who makes the team, these guards. You know, Kyrie Irving and John Wall are going to be in there. They need a big, and he said they want to get some bigs. And you got to believe, can DeMarcus Cousins finally step up and develop and make the team and be, you know, the big guy for the team?
That might be the best thing for him, to be surrounded by fellow All-Stars to basically put the pressure on him to act up to his talent level and to be the professional that he can be and really maximize his game. So that might be the best thing for him.
No, you're right. Well, listen, man, I got to say this was a fun, action-packed, crazy, wild show bouncing around, you know, from sport to sport, and a lot of fun. We got an email, a lot of information, and everybody, yo, we're suspended, yo. We're suspended. Ray and Tay are suspended until Friday. We'll be back Friday to bring you some more action. But, yo, we are officially
suspended.
I tell you, Ray.
Segment. You're suspended.
Yeah, I definitely. We got some, and listen, go to our page, man. Check out our great interviews, but check out our segments, because they're a lot of fun. We got a bunch of them, and, you know, they're all original and ours, even though you might hear some similarities somewhere else on other shows or something. But, nah, we created and came up with our own ideas and segments, so check them out. And we might have one or two new ones coming. Even You're Suspended, I like that. You know, I like that. We might have something coming. But maybe Friday we'll talk about some Hall of Fame stuff. I think it'll be a fun show, and maybe we'll get into some potential stuff. But so training camp, everybody opens up on Wednesday. So we'll hopefully have some training camp stuff to talk about on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for listening. Thanks for talking sports with friends. We really enjoyed it. And stay tuned.
Ray and Tay today. Peace.
We're out.
As if it seems to know, I'm exclusively yours.
Let's go, Yankees. Get a win tonight.
Knowing this, I feel but one way. You will understand it too, in these words that I say.
Fans hate today.